Are you ready for new dimensions and countless possibilities today and for the future? It's an exciting new time, and the answers are out there. So join Mary Jane Popp as she explores the unique and unusual for a better life on Pop Talk in search of the truth. And here she is, Mary Jane Popp.
And welcome back to Pop Talk. Yeah, hey, we've got a lot of things to talk about in this hour. I'm serious. A little bit later on, do you believe in angels? Well, I got somebody who does and claims that it's been a part of her whole life. And I've always been curious about angels, you know, whether they were humans and then went into be angels or they're different beings. Got a lot to talk about. Before we do that, hold your hand up. How many of you have been on a diet? Now, if you're telling me you never were on a diet, I think you're telling me a fib, because I don't know anybody who hasn't been on a diet or a bunch of them. But the question is, do they work? And what do we do to keep our health up? Because we are in an obese society. Seriously, we've got some major problems. But maybe, just maybe, we have a solution for you with one of the most renowned doctors in the fields of good nutrition and health. Hang in there. It's Pop Talk. And by golly, we are going to give you that search for truth and get the right information for you to have a better life.
Rock the boat. Don't rock the boat, baby. Rock the boat. Don't tip the boat over. Rock the boat. Don't rock the boat.
So maybe we should rock the boat a little bit, because are you sick and tired of dieting? You know, I hate the word diet, because it begins with the word die. But maybe we can tackle dieting with Dr. Neil Barnard, who is a leader in the world of evidence-based nutrition science. That sounds pretty impressive to me. And he comes up with innovative programs and with his team puts thousands of hours into thinking about and testing what foods are best for us and what foods taste good. Now, I've been told sometimes, I always look at it this way, you know, why God created food that tastes so good but is not good for us, or tastes really bad and is supposed to be good for us. But Dr. Neil Barnard is a faculty member of the George Washington University School of Medicine, and he's also president of the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine. And hopefully, he reveals three weight loss breakthroughs that reveal how to reduce appetite, trap calories, I love it, and flush them away. I got to find out what that means. And increase body ability to burn calories in his book called The Power Foods Diet. Dr. Barnard, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us.
Well, it's terrific to be here with you today.
Absolutely. Okay. I hate the word diet. It's got the word die in there. I was told at one time, and I've been doing talk shows for a very, very long time, Dr. Barnard, but I was told that all diets work and no diets work. I mean, they all take the weight off, but then it puts the weight back on again, and sometimes even more. Your opinion on that philosophy?
I think it's true. Because of the approach that people have used, and it's based on a false assumption. The idea is that if you just stop eating or cut drastically down on your portions, that all is going to be well. But the fact of the matter is that triggers hunger. And, you know, if you cut 500 calories a day off your diet or whatever it is, you're hungry, and by Wednesday, you're ready to eat the sofa.
Yeah.
And you think, you know,
That's true.
Or if you go on a no-carb approach that says you can't ever have fruit, you can't ever have pasta, you can't ever have spaghetti, you can't ever have a potato, you can't have a cookie, you da-da-da-da-da, and you think, that's not going to work for me. And so people give up. And then the thing that you lose is your self-confidence.
Yeah.
Because you think maybe other people can do it, but I can't. What we have found is, I think, going to completely change that. And it already has for the people in our research studies, which is there are certain foods that actually cause weight loss. And what I mean is when you eat more of these foods, you lose weight. And I want to give a lot of credit to researchers at Harvard University, because many teams have been looking at this for a long time. But Harvard researchers studied more than 100,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
And the big report on this came out actually back in 2015, where they found that the more these people ate of certain specific foods, The more they increased them in their diet, the more weight they lost. So it's the opposite of what people have been doing. Normally, oh, I've got to eat less of this and less of this and less of this. If you eat more of certain foods, you lose weight. And the reason is that certain foods reduce your appetite so you're satisfied earlier in the meal. You're not eating until you're in pain. You just don't have a less tendency to overeat. There are certain foods that trap calories so you can't absorb them. But one of the big things is that there are certain foods that return your metabolism to more like it was when you were 16. And if your metabolism is slowed, we can speed it back up.
Well, yeah, but when I was 16, I was heavy and then I lost weight. Well, actually, when I was 12, I was heavy. And then I stopped eating some of the nasty stuff one summer and lost 40 pounds. And I've never gained it back. As a matter of fact, I weigh less now than when I did back when I was 16. But the problem that I have is, give me the foods. Tell me what foods I'm supposed to have.
Okay. Let's walk through maybe the Harvard study really quickly.
Okay.
There were a whole bunch of foods that they found that when you, and again, when you ate more of them, you lost weight. And the first one is a really modest and unassuming one. If you take some blueberries or some strawberries or raspberries or blackberries as a group, what they found is the more people bring these into their diet, the more weight they lose. And we thought, okay, well, that makes sense because they have a lot of fiber in them. They don't have a lot of calories. Fine.
Okay.
But there's more to it. It turns out that color that makes a blueberry blue is what we call anthocyanins. It's a pigment in the berry, but it's actually an antioxidant that has biological actions, and it appears to increase your body metabolism. So researchers in England did an amazing study. They brought in almost 3,000 identical twins, and everybody got what we call a DEXA scan. That's a scanning device that shows us where the fat is on your body.
Mm-hmm.
And they found that within each twin pair, the one who was consuming the most anthocyanin had substantially less body fat than their identical twin sister, who was genetically exactly the same. But they had specifically less abdominal fat, but less total body fat. And so...
But I can't live on berries.
You can't live on berries. And no, but this is just one of many foods. This is my first example.
Okay.
And by the way, the anthocyanins are in berries. It's also the red blush in a pear that you see on the outside of a pear. Red grapes, that's anthocyanins as well. So that's number one. Number two, let's look at spices, cinnamon, ginger, and hot peppers as three. Cinnamon has been found to increase your metabolism. When you eat cinnamon, it causes a mild metabolic increase, so you burn calories faster. So here's what I'm going to do. I've just taken two of a whole bunch of food.
Okay.
Let's say tomorrow morning we're going to make America's favorite breakfast, French toast. And we're going to leave the big glob of butter off the top. But I'm going to make cinnamon blueberry syrup. And I'm going to pour it on top. Now I've got my two weight loss foods in there. And I'm going to add a little extra powdered cinnamon on top of it. It becomes a weight loss food.
Yeah, but I'm still eating the bread. The bread's not good for me, is it?
Well, the bread can be good for you. It depends on, first of all, what kind of bread it was, but more importantly, what you soaked it in. You know, when people make French toast, they often make a big concoction of eggs and milk and things like that.
Yeah.
And we might need to want to change that a little bit. So these are really simple things. So in the Power Foods diet, when you open it up, you see gorgeous food photography, and that's there for a reason.
Yeah, it is.
Because I want people to unlearn deprivation. What we're going to do with Power Foods is bring these into our diet. There are dozens. I just gave you two. But we're going to make blueberry syrup poured on our French toast. We'll make wild blueberry muffins. For lunch, how about my lentil soup or my mango dal? Or if you have not had pasta in a long time because you thought carbs are fattening, I have a penne arrabbiata for you. Arrabbiata is the Italian word for angry, but to a chef, arrabbiata means a little bit of spice. And the spiciness that comes from capsaicin that increase your metabolism too. I have a Southwest chili for you. I've got a carrot cake.
Well, let's get back to the pasta.
Let me carry.
I mean, when you talk about the pasta, are you talking about real pasta, not cauliflower pasta or spinach pasta?
I'm talking about real pasta that came straight from the fields of Italy.
Oh, okay.
Or the fields of Kansas, as the case may be. But the old-fashioned notion that carbohydrate in the form of pasta or bread is fattening, this is a misunderstanding, because carbohydrate You send it to a lab, they're going to say it's got only 4 calories in every gram. But fats of any kind, beef fat, chicken fat, even olive oil, has 9 calories in every gram. So what that means is the pasta or the potato or the bread, it doesn't have a lot of calories. But let's say that potato comes out of the oven. What do? Do we eat it? No. We put a tablespoon of butter on top, 9 calories in every gram, sour cream on top of that, cheese on top of that, bacon bits on top of that, and we blame the potato. Or we take bread, and it comes out of the toaster, and we slather it with butter, and we take pasta and soak it in ground beef sauce or oil, and it's the toppings. That's the issue.
Okay. So, but carbs, I was always told, turns to sugar, doesn't it?
Yes, but that's a good thing. Your muscle cells, which are your calorie burners, their favorite fuel is sugar. Now, not just any sugar. It's not the sugar that's like in Twizzlers. It's a special kind of sugar called glucose. So if you eat some bread or some rice or whatever, it digests in your body to release glucose that goes into your muscle cells and you burn it, and you burn it for energy. And that's a good thing. But for many people, that their ability to burn sugar has been damaged over time.
Okay.
And it turns out that your muscle cells have lost their ability to do it. And with certain power foods, you can turn it back on.
I can't tell you how many doctors I've had on the show over the many, many years that I've done these types of shows. They say, don't eat anything that's white. No white sugar, no white rice, no white flour, no white salt. Yeah? No.
You want to limit salt. That's for sure. But the idea of don't eat anything white, I have to say, is sort of a 1950s idea.
Oh, okay.
And people have tried it, and it tends not to really work so well. Mm-hmm. And so what we do is, I mentioned the research done at Harvard and elsewhere.
Yeah.
We bring in people. We randomly assign them to different kinds of diets and put these things to the test. And what we find is what really does work. Now, for all those people who say, well, white rice, don't eat that, that's white. The skinniest people on the planet were people in Japan before American fast food chains arrived. They were eating huge amounts of white rice, and that was their main dietary staple, and they were slim until cheese and meat came into their diet in a bigger way. So the rice itself is not a problem. Now, brown rice is better than white rice because it has the fiber in it, and whole grain bread is better than white bread. That's all true. That's true. But we don't want to go overboard in blaming the carbohydrate. If you want to blame anything, I would blame cheese. Cheese is 70% fat, and the average American consumes
all cheeses.
Yes. If it's a really watery cheese like cottage cheese, it could be somewhat smaller. But if you take anything from processed cheese like Velveeta up through Edam and Brie and cheddar, they're about 70% fat. There is zero fiber in them. And your average American consumes 70,000 calories worth of cheese every year because you could get a little bit hooked on it.
It tastes good.
That's the big issue for people, is they get a bit hooked on it. And so cheese is a food that people love, but it doesn't love you back.
Okay. All right. What about, fast foods? I mean, people gouge. Some people eat 3 times a day at fast foods. I'm not. I'm not one of them because once in a long while I want a Whopper, but that's about it, you know. But like once or twice a year, that's about it. But fast foods, I mean, it's become so popular. How do you break people of that habit? Because you say they get addicted, don't they?
Well, I think you're raising a really important point. It really depends. It depends so much on it depends so much on what you're actually going to be eating at the fast food chain.
Okay.
Sorry. That background noise.
That's okay.
Sorry. It really depends on what you choose when you go in there. Let's say you're going into a taco restaurant, and they've got a beef taco, which the beef has no fiber. It's got a lot of fat in it. And then they're going to top it with cheese. Same kind of problem. And let's say instead I pick the bean burrito, hold the cheese. The beans have a lot of fiber in them. They have relatively little fat, and they're filling, and it's really going to help enormously. So, or I can go to Wendy's, and I can get the baked potato. I can put salsa on top. It's really a question of what you consume. But we did an amazing research study here. My research colleague Dr. Hanna Kaliova, brought in individuals. And what we look at is appetite control. You know, when you eat food, your digestive tract releases natural hormones to turn down your appetite. One of these is called GLP-1, and that's the food that, or that's the hormone in your body that turns down your appetite. That's the one that people are injecting with Wegovy, the Wegovy and Ozempic, these weight loss drugs.
Oh, okay.
And they are synthetics of GLP-1. Well, foods will release that naturally. But if you have a burger from a fast food restaurant, it doesn't really cause much GLP-1 release. So your appetite doesn't get turned down, and you don't stop eating until your stomach feels totally full and you're kind of hurt from stomach stretch. But you have appetite turnoff switches that should occur much before that. If your meal has a lot of fiber and healthy complex carbohydrates in it, that turns off your appetite much sooner because it releases the GLP-1 earlier.
What about processed foods? They say don't eat processed foods.
Yeah, I think that's good advice. The more it's a real food, the better it is. If you eat an apple, that's going to be a really good choice. Apples and oranges and bananas and these sorts of things. And if things are processed, ground up, and if things are added to fats and sugars are added, that's not so hot. Although I do have to say, probably the most processed food of all might be something like chicken. Because if you think about it, in a factory, you could take corn, and the factory can turn the corn into corn flakes. But in a chicken factory, so to speak, these factory farms, you feed them corn, and the chicken's body digests that corn and turns it into muscle and turns it into eggs and things. And you're dramatically processing the food as well. So animal products are probably the most heavily processed of all.
Okay. Do you ever eat like donuts or cake or anything sweet like that? Or chocolate?
Well, if you want to have something sweet, let me give you a couple of thoughts.
Okay.
The obvious first thing is, let's say you keep in your house a bowl full of fruit, not just the berries that I mentioned, like strawberries and raspberries and so forth, but apples and oranges and persimmons and whatever calls to you. That's a great thing. Let's say you have a little bit of a chocolate taste. You can make a nice chocolate sauce and dip your strawberries in it. So you're getting that chocolate flavor, but it combines in a beautiful way with these fruits. Those are a couple of ways that I really love to enjoy these foods.
Okay. I don't know. It's one of those things, it's how you're brought. What about the genetic? I mean, is there any genetic factor in this?
There is a genetic factor, but it's hard to tease out until a person gets on a healthy diet. Because we don't just give our children DNA. We also give our kids recipes. And we give them ideas about food. So sometimes when you see a child who is gaining weight more quickly than you'd want, it has to do with how food was handled in the home. Mm-hmm. And when we change how food is handled in the home, people often do a lot better. Let me give you one more tip here that might be a little bit surprising to people.
Yeah.
At Tufts University, researchers brought in 90 people, and half of them they had eat bread, but have it be a whole grain bread. And the other half eat bread, but it's white bread, no fiber. And what they discovered is that the fiber in the whole grain bread, going down their digestive tract, the fiber breaks into a million tiny sponges that grab calories you haven't absorbed yet and carry them out with the waste. And so about 100 calories or so per day are eliminated in this way, so you can never even absorb them. So what we're doing with the Power Foods diet approach is we're using foods that turn down our appetite naturally.
Mm-hmm.
We're trapping calories so you can't absorb them. And then we're using foods to ramp up our metabolism so that we're burning calories faster. And if you put all that together, as many as a quarter of the calories that you would normally eat, you just can't absorb them at all, or you can't store them as fat at all. And so people lose weight so easily. And the beauty of it is, yes, you lose weight. Yes, people notice it. Yes, they comment on it. Yes, you got to buy new clothes. But more importantly, you're healthier. The strain on your heart, the likelihood of having diabetes, all these things go way, way down.
Amazing. Okay, yeah. What about exercise? Don't we have exercise in this program?
Exercise is a good thing. But in our research study, and I strongly recommend it. However, I do have to say something. In our research studies that we do, and we've brought in many, many people in this. If we're testing a diet change, we ask people to keep exercise constant because I don't want it to confound our results. I don't want them suddenly training for a marathon and I'm going to think that the foods caused weight loss when the exercise was causing weight loss. So we keep exercise constant and we still see very significant weight loss. So the point is, let's say a person doesn't change their exercise. They're going to still lose weight. Why does that matter? Because first of all, if you're in a wheelchair, if you have a significant disability, or if you're really, really heavy, let's say you're 400 pounds, you might say, I'm not in a position to do really meaningful exercise. You will benefit dramatically from the food. And if and when you can exercise, let's bring that back in.
Okay. Well, I guess, though, you have to know how to do these things. And obviously, they're going to get that in the Power Foods diet and make some recipes that are good. What about ice cream? I love ice cream.
I knew you would. And so I have something for you.
Oh, good.
We have something called the triple berry sorbet. We take blueberry. It's the easiest thing in the world. Open this page up in the book, and you need to make this. You take blueberries, strawberries, and raspberries. That's our triple berry.
I have those in the morning anyway, so I've got them handy.
Oh, perfect. So you've got them. Okay. We're going to blend them up with some bananas and a little bit of cherry or cranberry juice. That's it. You blend it up. And then, you put it in a bowl. It's in a bowl. And you cover it with a little saran wrap, put it in the fridge and let it, or put it in the freezer, let it freeze. And it comes out as this beautiful, beautiful, bright reddish purple sorbet. Or if the kids are coming around, take blueberries, a banana, a pear, some almond milk, and lemon juice. That's it. Blend it up really well. You put it into your ice cube tray. Or even better, go to the kitchenware part of the grocery store where they sell kitchen gadgets.
Yeah.
And they've got little popsicle molds. Put it in the popsicle molds with little popsicle sticks. Put it in the freezer. And when the 12-year-olds are coming around your neighborhood, they are going to scream because you are making these bright purple popsicles. Everything in it is something healthy for them. And it's got the power foods right in it. Everybody can eat them, and it's delicious.
Well,
I've got a carrot cake. We've got brownies, all kinds of things that are healthy but tasty.
I mean, I love the idea of what you're talking about. Sounds great. But ice cream is creamy. Sorbet is icy.
We're going to try different things, and you can experiment with things. But what I want you to lose is your taste for greasy things. It's good to set that aside.
Okay.
At least 40% of people in America are overweight, tipping onto obese. Their lives are going to be shorter, and they're going to feel worse. Their risk of diabetes, their need to be on medication is a real problem.
Mm.
So when we learn some new tastes, fun tastes, delicious foods, some lessons from other countries, it enriches our lives and it helps them to learn some new tricks. So yes, a person may love a big greasy steak. The problem is that these foods don't love you back so much. So I want to share with you my pasta arrabbiata, my Southwest chili, all these recipes. We have more than 120.
Oh, and
they're in three groups. So some of them are what we call easy, relatively few ingredients. Some of them are called convenient, meaning no requirement at all to do any prep. They're pretty much already made. And some of them are elegant for a person who wants a little more fine dining experience. We'll show you how to make them fancy.
Fantastic. No, it all sounds really good. And believe me, one question, though. As we get older, it's a little harder to keep the weight off. Is that because our metabolism slows down?
Yes. We measure metabolism, and it's not supposed to slow down, but it does slow down. And the reason it slows down is we've been eating fatty foods. The fat gets into your muscle cells. And it makes your mitochondria not work anymore. So when we get the fatty foods out of our diet, they start working better. And in our research studies, we see a metabolic improvement very, very rapidly. So I can make you burn calories like you did when you were little.
Huh.
And so that's our approach.
Terrific. I really appreciate your being with us. Do you have a website?
Yes. Well, first of all, people will find the Power Foods Diet on any of the online sites like Amazon or Target or Barnes & Noble.
Okay.
And our website here is pcrm.org. And if there's a bookstore in your neighborhood, please go and visit them. And the Power Foods Diet is there on their shelf waiting for you.
Well, thank you for the good information. I love the berry stuff, so I'm going to try a couple of those. And I'm going to try the sorbet. Even though I kind of like the creamy ice cream, I'm going to try some of these others and just see if the palate changes too, doesn't it?
In about 3 weeks' time.
Ah, okay. I'll give it 3 weeks. What the heck? Anyway, thank you so much, Dr. Barnard, and keep up the good work because Lord knows we need all the help we can get.
Great. Well, thank you so much.
You bet. Take care now. Dr. Neil Barnard, The Power Foods Diet. You can go to PCRM, which is Physicians Committee. Let's see. I think I know what it is. What's his title? If I can remember, here it is. Yeah. Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine. That's it. Okay, folks, hang in there because let's talk about angels. Let's find out, do they exist? And if they do, why are they there? And can we actually talk to angels? We're going to find out. Hang in there with us, a little musical interlude here while I get our next guest all set for us to go. Okay, it's that time, folks. I talk to my angels every day, but a lot of people say, oh, come on, you talk to the angels? Well, let's find out if you can do it, and what difference will it make in your life?
When you walk down the road, heavy burden.
Okay, the question is, do you believe in angels? Well, Catherine Lanigan does. You see, she saw her first angel when she was just 3 years old. And that was just the beginning. She's had angels in about every aspect of her life, from career to health, relationships. But wait till you hear how the angelic realm really spurred her to actually chronicle angelic visitation stories in her many books, like, would you believe, 45 books. It's amazing. And she has her belief in love conquers all, always has, and always will. Now, some of her stories are in Angel Talks, Angel Timelines, Angel Watch, I don't know if I've mentioned it, she's a cancer survivor, too. Catherine, nice to have you with us on the show.
Well, thank you, Mary Jane. It's such a pleasure to be here.
You know what? 3 years old. Did you know it was an angel?
You know, I didn't, but my mother did. My mother always, you know, I was just three. Can I tell the story?
Yeah, please.
Okay. What happened was, this is back right after World War II, and my parents were building the house that I live in now, that we lived in all my life. And, but we had rented a house in a little lake in, Indiana. And.
Oh, where?
It was a suburb.
Where in Indiana?
Pardon me?
Where in Indiana?
This was, outside of LaPorte, just, and not too far, excuse me, not too far from South Bend.
That's amazing. We lived in LaPorte for 2 years.
Oh my God. Isn't that so wonderful?
Yeah. Oh, it is. Anyway, go ahead with your story.
So anyway, these were little cottages, you know, they're summer cottages. They're very small,
yeah.
But there was no heat in them. There was no insulation. Very few had a fireplace or anything like that. And there was certainly not a telephone, you know, nothing like that was, I mean, we were probably, some of them didn't even have indoor plumbing, you know. They were just a place to go and swim and spend the weekend and then go back to Chicago or Detroit, wherever they were from. Well, anyway, we were living there, and my mother had had an accident where she was pregnant and she had fallen down the stairs. She was down the basement stairs.
Oh, my God.
She was carrying me in one arm and my baby brother in the other arm. I was just turned 3. And she fell, and I was fine. My brother was fine, but my mother was not. She had started bleeding. And because we didn't have a phone, the only thing she could do, and she couldn't move. She was really in a bad place. And so she wrote a note, put me in my, it was February when this happened, and there was snowing outside, which looked very pretty, et cetera. So she put me in my snowsuit and bundled me up, you know, scarf around my face, the whole deal, and sent me out. Well, by the time I started walking out, I had to go out, which I was supposed to go to the end of our little road to a grocery store. And at the grocery store was a phone, and we knew the grocer very well. I had been there the day before. I knew him. And he could call for an ambulance for my mother to, you know, to come for my mother.
Yeah.
And so because it wasn't that far, it wasn't, you know, horrible. Well, by the time I started walking, the blizzard had come in, and now it was a whiteout. I mean, an absolute whiteout. So I'm 3 years old walking through this, and everything's white. I can't tell anything. And I always knew the grocery store, because back then the side of the building was painted with that little baby girl with the big bread, you know, loaf of bread next to the Cremo bakery girl, baby girl. And but the snow had clung to the brick and covered up her face.
Ouch.
It covered up the whole painting. So I never saw it. So I just kept walking and walking and walking. And I still had this note for the grocer to call for the ambulance. Was inside my mitten. And I must have walked. I walked all the way to there is a bridge. And it's almost a mile, if not a mile, away from our home. And I didn't know what to do. You know, I just kept walking. I just knew I was out there for a long time, and no one came around. I mean, it was a whiteout, and it was a summer village, so there was nobody, you know, coming or going.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway, out of the falling snow, the big falling snow, I saw a pair of headlights. A car was coming around the bend and over the bridge, and he pulled to a stop, and he gets out of the car and he says, you know, little person, what are you doing out in this terrible storm? And I said, well, I have a note for the grocer. I'm going to the grocery store, Mr. And I knew the name of the man at the time. I can't remember his name now. And so he said, oh, you're a long way from the grocery store. You know, get in the car and I will take you to the grocery store. And I was terrified of getting in a car with a stranger. Right. So so anyway, I said, no, that's okay. You know, I'll keep walking. I'm not supposed to get in a car with a stranger. And he said, your parents taught you very well. And he said, let me see the note. And I said, no, it's for the grocer. I have to take it to the grocer. And he said, I'll tell you what I'll do. You get in the car and you can hang on to the door. And if you get scared or anything, you know, I will stop and let you out. But we have to take care of your mother. If your mother is in pain or something's happened to your mother, we've got to get this done. So he convinced me to get in the car, and I will never, ever forget being in that car. It was, you know, probably a 1945 Plymouth or Chevy or something, and had all the doors of the car were all fabric. You know, they were like this fuzzy gray fabric stuff. And, you know, everything was upholstered. The walls, the doors, the back, everything was upholstered. And I will never forget holding on to that handle. But sure enough, he took me to the grocer, and the grocer knew exactly what to do. He called for the ambulance for my mother. And so he said, and so the gentleman who had taken me there, he said, well, if everything's okay, he said, you know, I can take you to your mom. And I said, no. And the grocer said, that's all right. I'll drive her, you know, I'll drive her down to, I know exactly where they live, you know, and it's not that far. I'll take her home. And so we can wait for the ambulance to come. Well, anyway, he drove away. And then years later, I asked my mom, you know, I said, you know, what do you think? Cause she brought it up one time about the whole thing. And she said, you have no idea how terrified I was that you were out in the storm and you were gone for so long. I kept waiting and waiting and waiting for you to come back, and you weren't coming back. And I thought, oh my God, you know, what have I done? And, but anyway, no one in the village had ever seen this man before. The grocer talked to several people. He had never seen him before. The people, his workers in the store said they didn't know this man. And he just drove off into the whiteout blizzard and just disappeared and never came back. And my mother said there was never in my mind any question at all that was an angel. She said, I've always known that was an angel. It was impossible for anybody to be out there. So that wasn't my first encounter with an angel. Well, no, that would be my first, my first encounter. Because a few months later, when we moved into this house, then I saw an actual angel with wings and everything in my bedroom. And she was there in my room, like all the time. You know, my mother would keep saying, you know, like, who are you talking to in there? And I said, well, you know, I have my person, you know, because I didn't know what an angel was. You know, I had no idea. And so mother kept saying, well, what does this person look like? And I said, well, you know, with the really big wings and she's glowing. And my mother's going, you're describing an angel. And I said, she said, well, what is her name? I said, well, she didn't give me a name. She just comes in to talk to me and tell me that she's always here to play with me when I'm lonely. So I won't be lonely.
So are we assigned guardian angels?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, I've talked to several other people who have seen. I know that everyone has one, but she says we're born with two.
Two.
And I don't doubt that. I do know that in times of stress and need or specific times when you're really doing maybe a lot of what I call you know, community work or work for the earth, a lot of spiritual work when, and you need help, you can have literally dozens of angels come in for all different kinds of things. There are angels that, you know, you can call upon them to help you with health matters. I know I call them my medical team, you know, and we just had a friend of ours whose son had a seizure again and went back in the hospital. And I sent my medical team along with some other angels, you know, to help them.
What is an angel? Define
Pardon
it.
Me?
What is an angel? I mean, has it been a human or these are different beings altogether?
No. When my father had his near-death experience and went to the other side, my father was dead for 22 minutes. And when he went to the other side, he said, the angels are a specific species. They have, just like the Catholic Church says, you know, there's seven choirs of angels. I think there's even more than that. Even in the Bible, Jesus said, do you not think that my Father would send legion upon legion upon legion of battling angels? You know, angels battle ready. So we know they're battle ready angels. You know, always, you know, we think of Michael the Archangel being, you know, the leader of all the battle, which is true. But angels who are the species of angels with wings, those are that kind. There are some angels, like I think it's the seraphim and the cherubim, that have three sets of wings. So they actually have six wings on their back.
Oh, wow.
But there are also angels that come to earth and appear as humans. They haven't lived as a human being, but they take on a human visage.
Why?
In order to fit in when they're trying to save somebody. That usually happens when they're trying to keep someone from harm, especially, because I was just reading some stuff again today, especially females when they're caught, like their car breaks down, you know what I mean? That kind of thing, or they're being approached by a nefarious man. Certainly these days with all the human trafficking.
Yeah. Oh, no, absolutely.
I think we would see a lot more of that kind of angel. And then that angel goes along and just will disappear. You know, you take your eye off for a minute and then boom, they vanish. And I call those vanishing angels.
So you say there are good angels and bad angels. How do I know what angels that come to me are good or bad?
You can ask. You have to ask them. And there is a specific way to tell if you've got a trickster. And first of all, a bad angel cannot appear with a lot of light. That's number one.
Oh, okay.
They can fake it. They can fake it for a minute. But you ask them, you always ask, are you from the light?
Oh.
And one of the laws of the universe is that they have to answer you correctly. Isn't that interesting?
So
if they just, many times they'll just, a trickster will just disappear and go away and that's it. They're
okay.
gone.
So do
a
you,
real angel will say, yes, I'm from the light. And you can say, are you the, from the light of the creator of the universe?
Ah, okay.
And they have to answer correctly.
Correctly.
And one that's evil or masking themselves, if they've been, if they're creative enough to, you know, bad angels really don't have much creativity. They're really kind of stupid, if you ask me.
Okay.
I mean, because their vibration is very low. And, you know, and they, that's why they come in when you're afraid, because you're in a low vibrational point. You know, if you're at a, if you've got your vibrations very high and you've just finished some prayers or you've finished a really good meditation or your thoughts are about other people and, you know, warm thoughts, you're sending love to, you know, your family or your friends or, I mean, even when you're doing something really nice, you know, I was just earlier, I was just making some cupcakes. And I was thinking about my friends. That I'm going to take to the making sweet cupcakes for their birthday, you know, for some birthdays.
Yeah.
And just when you're in that frequency of caring for someone else and loving someone else enough that you physically take action for something that you do, you know, when you think back to when our mothers were alive and in the church, there was always a, you know, gathering, you know, there would be a picnic and they would make food for everyone in the congregation. And that was all part of keeping that frequency high. Now we don't do that kind of thing so much. We used to have, I can remember when my son was little, we had block parties.
Yeah.
We all got together and you helped each other out and you helped with the kids. You know, the, if one of the little kids in the neighborhood, you know, skinned his knee and his mom wasn't home or he couldn't find his mom, he knew he could come to my house and have me put some peroxide on it and a Band-Aid.
Yeah, yeah.
That kind of thing. So, every one of those tiny little things, when you go for a walk and you just smile at someone, that's bringing in that frequency of the angels because you're doing the work on the earth that keeps the angels close to you, that makes your angels happy.
Now, can you see them, hear them, or feel them, or all of the above?
I personally can do all of the above. Now, a lot of people hear them all the time, but they just miss it. They can even see, they may even see them because sometimes angels don't always come in like with wings flying all around, you know, like I've got those stories in my book, but most of the time their energies, you'll see maybe a change in the light in your room, in the room. Let's say you're sitting in the living room, like right now, it's a very cloudy day here, raining and snowing, by the way.
Uh-huh.
And, but the light in the room, all of a sudden the room will just get lighter and you know it's not from outside.
Ah.
That's that frequency coming in, the angels coming in, you can just feel them. St. Michael the Archangel comes in on a very blue light. There'll be times when I really see the blue light around. That's his frequency and he's everywhere. He's all over the place, especially now because we are fighting the battle between good and evil right now for Earth.
We are?
Oh God, yeah.
I mean, yeah. I mean, it's a mess. I know that, but
we're at a tipping point. We are definitely at a tipping point. Everyone's got to choose which way they want to go. They want to choose the way of the good and the light and the love, especially love. And that's why I believe in love conquers all.
Yeah.
Or are they going to choose the way of, you know, yeah, I think I need another, you know, course. Yeah, I think I need another, you know, a bigger house. I need this. I need that. I need power. I need to control, you know, I need to beat up my wife tonight. If you're going to choose that road, then you're choosing the way of the dark.
But, you know, we thought that.
And that's what you'll get.
We thought that during the millennium, you know, when we turned 2000, that there's a positive road and a negative road. I don't think we took the positive road back then. So what makes you think
we didn't have enough people choosing. That is absolutely correct. We did not have enough people aware enough to choose. To say, you know, I don't need that anymore. The one thing that the that the COVID did when it drove us all into the house and we had to be alone with ourselves, that in that time it prepared us a little bit for this time where we had to really think, what do I really want? You know, do I really want to work at that job that I hate? Or am I going to take a different road? And a lot of people took a different road. A lot of people moved to a different place. They moved to the country. A lot of people moved to Colorado to be in the mountains. They wanted to be, you know, in nature, you know. Mm-hmm. We had a lot of that kind of movement. We had a lot that moved to the seashore. You know, when you think about, I read a thing about the demographic change after the COVID. It was amazing. It was amazing. And then the job changes, you know, what do I really want to do? And people going back to school to really learn the thing that the skill or the trade or the, you know, well, I've always really, I really wanted to work with hair. I really wanted to be a hair designer. You know, things like that. That's what I really wanted to do. I didn't really want to work in the bread factory.
Okay, so how do we contact the angels? I mean, I talk to my angels every day, but...
That's how you do it.
Well, yeah, but I didn't get any answers.
Really, go ahead.
I didn't get any answers. I talk to them all the time, but I don't get any answers.
You know, you're probably getting answers. You may be talking to them, but you're not listening. No offense.
No. I'm a good listener. Listen, I'm listening to you. You know, I'm a good listener.
They reply to you in many different ways. And that's where people, I tell people, you know, really do look at their signs. There's a lot of things where you're, like when you're, like we're doing this show right now.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And putting that together. And that is your love. That is your love of your career is this show.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Okay. You didn't do that by yourself.
Really?
You did not do that by yourself. You had a lot of angelic help to put you on your path where you're supposed to be, to have the love of that career that really fulfills you. And plus the fact that when you're on the radio, there, you know, there's that frequency of the radio.
Yeah, that's
And
true.
That radio frequency goes out past our galaxy.
Okay.
You know that?
Well, it goes out, but where does it go to?
Past our galaxy. It just keeps on going and going and going.
Oh,
it's
okay.
Frequency. It doesn't die. It does not die. It stays out there. And so all of the good work and everything that you're doing just keeps on going and going and going. It goes to the Andromeda galaxy or the next galaxy or whatever. But that frequency is one where, you know, I can't see that frequency. It doesn't appear to me. I can't see it, you know, flitting through my room or anything. I can hear you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
And so that is part of how the angels work. They work with that to make sure that your most heartfelt desires are fulfilled.
Amazing. So you refer to a thing called the New Earth. What does that mean?
The New Earth is, okay. To understand what's really going on is you have to pay attention to all these solar flares that we're getting. The Earth is being bombarded and has been for about the last year, but in the last few months, it started in 2023. The astrologers, and they're all over, you know, YouTube, you can listen to them, and they go into it in depth, certainly more than I can. But there are a whole X level solar rays. The Earth itself has never been bombarded this much with this kind of frequency and solar rays that are literally changing our DNA. It's also changing the frequency of the Earth, the atomic structure of every tree, every flower, every drop of water, blade of grass, the air, everything.
To what
everything
end?
Is being accelerated to a higher frequency.
Oh.
That is part of what we call the ascension, and everything is moving upward to something more positive than what we have.
Boy,
because
I hope so.
We have to move forward. So the New Earth is when that frequency change it culminates.
Hmm. Okay.
Which isn't going to happen overnight. You know, it's going to take a long time, but it's a lot that's going on right now. And that's one reason why, the angels came to me prior to the COVID, and I had this visitation from 10,000 angels. And the angels, you know, told me that they were here. They've been battling the spiritual battle between good and evil over the earth,
mm-hmm.
for the possession of the earth. Let me put it in bare bones language, for the possession of the earth and all who inhabit it.
Okay.
Okay.
But we don't know who's going to win.
Huh?
But we don't know who's going to win yet.
Well, the light will win. The light's already won. That's why this is the last grasp of the dark going for everything that they can. That's why there's so much corruption and why everything looks so messed up to you.
Yeah.
Is because they're putting out as much fear as they possibly can to make you think that the light is not winning, but the light is winning. So,
really,
you know, I don't have any fear. I have none. So,
what can we do to enhance that new earth?
Pardon me?
What can we do to enhance that new earth?
With sending love to just even like I said before, it's just when you go out for a walk and you just smile at somebody, don't just turn your head and walk away. That may be the only smile that person experiences all day long.
Yeah.
And back about, do you remember when that movie came out, Pay It Forward?
Yeah.
Back like 20 years ago now?
Yeah.
Well, the scientists did experiments on that of what happens to the person who receives the smile, and do they do biofeedback and all that kind of thing? Their energies in their body were raised almost 70%.
Wow.
Just by somebody smiling at them. Hmm. The person who did the smiling, their frequencies were raised almost the same. But see, their frequencies were already higher than the one that received it.
Amazing.
So any kindness, that pay it forward, any kindness that you pay for any person, that's just a simple thing that you can do to raise the frequency of the earth.
I love it.
Big things that you can do is through meditation and prayer, is you literally pray for the earth. Send light and love to every nook and cranny on the earth that you can. And by sending that light, just imagine, just envision light everywhere, like every plate, like if you just envision a dark cave, well, light it up with light. Just pretend somebody turned on all the lights.
Now,
that's how envisioning is not tough. It's just it's real simple.
Now, before we run out of time, I want to make sure. I know. Well, I'll have you back. Don't worry.
We're just getting started.
I know. Website. Got a website. Yes?
The website is www.catherinelanigan.com. It's CatherineLanigan.com. My book, Angel Timelines, is available at BarnesandNoble.com, Amazon.com, and 40,000 platforms around the earth.
Fantastic. That's so great.
Yeah.
Well, listen, just keep up the good work because we need all the help we can get, seriously.
Absolutely. I'm going to do it.
Yep. And I'll try to do the same thing because I know it's important for us to have
Well,
that
you
message.
Are doing it. Just your show, having your show and being back. I mean, this is so great. This tells me the angels are working overtime and I'm just so happy for you.
Thank you. And like I said, I do talk to them every day. When I do my walk and at night before I go to bed, you know, I just want to make sure, you know, that they know I'm here, you know, give me a little bit of enlightenment if you possibly can. Catherine, terrific. I look forward to having you back again. We didn't even get into some of the issues I want to get into, but we will next time around. How's that?
Oh, yeah, we sure will.
Take care and stay well and tell your angels we're thinking about them.